Good morning. And now we are going to check in with the University of Alaska Southeast Ketchikan campus and the Ask UAS program that's coming up. Joining us this morning, we have Barbara Morgan and Michelle Lampton. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
Yes, and Ask UAS, I believe that's coming up this Thursday. Is that correct?
It is. So it's going to be day after tomorrow. It'll be 6 p.m. And of course, we still can't have gatherings on campus, so it's going to be done by Facebook Live like we've been doing it since last fall. Fingers crossed, hopefully starting next fall when we start the series up again. After this one, we'll be able to have people in person. But we are very excited to have Professor Morgan coming in to talk about Alaska in transition. And here, I'll turn it over to Professor Morgan.
Thank you. So this is pretty, I'm excited to get to do this presentation. It's kind of a little bit of a different turn for me. Usually I do presentations about some of the different things that live and grow in this area, birds and whatnot, flowers, berries. The topic this time is actually not just about the Ketchikan area, but Alaska as a whole, and some of the changes that are happening in Alaska because of the differences in weather patterns and climate that we've been seeing. So I'm going to kind of go through and talk about some of the different climate changes and then some of the effects of that we are seeing throughout Alaska. And there's quite a bit of change that's happening and predicted to happen. It's a pretty substantial change in some areas. Glaciers are melting, different plants are growing in different areas, etc. So not always the easiest topic to talk about. It's a little bit of a difficult thing to talk about sometimes, but important to know what's happening. So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that.
How far back in time, in a sense, are you going to look at the changes?
Some of the data is over the course of a few decades. Some of it's pretty new. It depends on kind of the different focus of the changes that I'm talking about. Some of the weather data, though, is over the course of a few decades.
What do you have an example of one of the things that you'll be talking about, like locally? Because I know that you're going to be talking about Alaska as a whole, but you're also going to be talking about things that, you know, that we've seen locally.
Can we talk here.
One of those things, yeah.
And one of the things that it's a lot of the information is kind of observational data. And that's actually kind of the case here is that we are just kind of starting our summer weather here right now. So it's not, we don't know what kind of a summer we're going to have right now. Last summer, though, was like the wettest on record. The previous two, we had drought years. One before that, it was, again, one of the wettest summers ever at that point. And so to me, that is a sign, basically going from one extreme to the other and then back again within 4 years is not normal. And so that seems like it's probably the result of some kind of overall climate change pattern. And that affects various different kinds of plants such that live in this area. A couple summers ago, people were noticing that a lot of the salal was having a hard time and taking a real hit. And that was not actually just in this area, but coastwide. And one of the things that I was reading out of British Columbia, actually, where they saw a lot of salal dying back, was looking at the connection between the health of the salal plants and the weather patterns that were happening. So some of the information is really pretty new. A lot of it is information that it seems to be pointing in a particular direction, but it's also still kind of up for seeing how it unfolds to see where we're actually going to end up. Right now, I think that it's pretty easy to look at the information that we're gathering and seeing that changes are happening. We don't know exactly where we're going to end up. People try to do kind of a conservative look at information an awful lot of the time, which I think is good. And then new information that we keep gathering seems to like exceed that in an awful lot of cases. So One of the bits of information that's new right now that seems to be pointing towards overall melting of Alaska is one of the big glaciers up north that is melting super rapidly right now. All of a sudden, it's like, oh yeah, okay, that's kind of disturbing a little bit. So a lot of changes happening for some reason. A lot of the changes due to climate change are seen more pronounced in the Arctic area rather than towards the equator. So Alaska is seeing more of the effect of this change in climate and change in weather patterns than other parts that a lot of the rest of the world is.
How long have you lived in Ketchikan?
I have lived in this Ketchikan area, like between Wrangell and Ketchikan and several points in between, since 1976.
Okay. So during that time, are there changes that you have noticed and that maybe have even changed more prominently recently?
Yeah. Yes. And so one of the things that has changed is that it used to always be that the first snowfall, like fairly substantial, like you'd get at least like an inch of snowfall on the ground. That you'd always have that during the last week of October. And now it's like, you know, November, sometimes December, whatever, before we get any substantial snowfall. And so it seems that beginning of winter, that first snowfall is being pushed later and later, and is a little bit more erratic than it used to be.
That's a good way to describe this winter.
Yeah. So that's kind of a little bit of a concrete one for me. Another thing that I've noticed that may or may not actually be climate change related or only climate change related is the amount of herring in the water too. And that is also very likely due to overfishing. So that's one of the confusing things is some of the things that we're seeing what is the reason behind them? And sometimes it is multiple factors. And so, there's far fewer herring in the water than when I was a child. And when I was a child growing up in these areas, I was listening to old timers at that time complain about how few herring there were. And then I'm, adding to that. And so that's a little bit disturbing in my mind too, just know that whole progression in my lifetime. And again, the change in herring population is likely due to more than one factor, not just maybe even not much due to climate change. But it is a change that I have seen in my lifetime.
Okay. And we also know, and I know you've done talks about this, of just the warming oceans.
The ocean is warming. And that that is one of the things I'm going to talk about is that a few years ago, there was the big, huge blob. They called it the blob of warmer than normal, quite a bit warmer than normal water in the North Pacific area, and how that impacted salmon stocks. And that also affects plankton and phytoplankton, zooplankton populations, which it's not just the salmon, it's like the whole rest of the whole food web. Herring are part of that as well. So, the oceans are definitely changing. The temperature is changing. The pH balance of the oceans are changing. They're becoming more acidic than normal overall, some places more than others. That also is seen more pronounced in the Arctic because the waters are colder and cold water can absorb more carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. So there are multiple factors that are driving these changes we're seeing. I'm going to be focusing more on the ones that seem to be at least mostly happening due to changes in weather patterns and climate.
Okay.
I know that. So on our Ask UAS for last month, which people can still go on our Facebook page to watch, if you just navigate to www.facebook.com/Ketchikan Campus Library and go to videos, that'll still be up for a couple more days. And I'm getting ready to put that up on Facebook. We've got, I think, 20 or 30 other previous Ask UASs up on our YouTube page if people want to navigate to that. But Professor Freitag was talking last month about that plankton in warmer waters don't tend to have the same nutrient value as plankton in northern cooler waters. And so the increase in ocean temperature has been moving. It's been moving less nutritious plankton further north into our waters. And so that's been a huge impact on our salmon runs, because all of those, as you say, the food web, everything small to large, it's just simply not getting the same nutrients because waters are warmer elsewhere.
That's it's kind of a bit of a it doesn't flow, I guess. It's hard for it doesn't make sense, I guess, is to think that since growing conditions are better for the phytoplankton, and actually plants do this too, but if they're able to grow a lot faster, they get big without actually being able to take up as much nutrient load to store in those tissues. And so you get big, but not as nutrient dense.
That makes sense, so, actually.
Yeah, so it just seems to me, you know, between, I was really excited to have Professor Freitag's lecture and then followed by yours, because I think there's a lot of things in terms of, you know, we get things like climate change and fishing, those things get very political and polarized and people don't kind of communicate. But if you start like looking at the low level impacts that climate change is having that we just don't see, kind of microscopic to what our daily observational and political views are, like it's more than just like overfishing and it's more than just climate change. All of these things are working together. And it seems like the more that we actually understand as members of this particular community where it's so relevant, we understand how these things are interacting, we can start making better choices and better changes and plans going forward.
Yes.
Okay.
There are a lot of people in Alaska that are focusing on this. There's every spring, there is a gathering, the Alaska Forum on the Environment. And that's, I started going to that. And that's where I started learning even more about all of these different topics about how Alaska is changing. And some of what people are doing about it too. And one of the things that we don't hear so much down here, but in the interior, more and more people are noticing the changes, and they don't want to be adding to them. And with alternate energy sources becoming more and more available and more, they're cheaper and cheaper all the time, people are figuring out how to run whole communities off of solar energy and wind energy and such. And so alternate energy sources are being used more and more in the interior because they work just fine and they're not adding to global climate change.
Yeah, so that's, I'm excited for tomorrow.
So,
or I'm sorry, for Thursday. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay, so if someone is interested in participating, attending this, what do they need to do?
All right, so it's going to be 6 o'clock on Thursday, so this day after tomorrow. You just need to go to our Facebook page. So that's www.facebook.com/Ketchikan Campus Library, or you can Google it. You do not have to have a Facebook account to watch it. So at 6 o'clock, you can just hit refresh the page, and then our live event will come on in the video. And you can make comments during the presentation, and we'll have Kathy Bowling will be here in the library with Professor Morgan and myself. And we'll be reading questions live to Professor Morgan so that they can be responded to. If you have questions on how to connect sooner, please give us a call at the library. Our number is 228-4567, but please do that before 4 p.m. on Thursday. We won't be able to get to the phones after 4 p.m. on Thursday to respond to those questions. And if I can, I will just say the campus library, like the public library right now, is closed to the public because of the recent COVID spike. You can still reach us to get books and arrange to get books like delivered outside the door. Again, so that's 228-4567. And just keep an eye on our Facebook page when we'll be open again, which we hope is soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that either of you wants to mention? Or we're
not
good?
For me. Thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks, Maria. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. And again, that Facebook Live event coming up this Thursday.